What happens in the mind of the Christian when they suffer? You don't have to look very far, and you probably can be thinking of your own personal experiences here, to realize that Christians don't escape suffering, and sometimes pretty severe suffering. The problem of evil and suffering in the world when we believe in a good God, that is an age-old problem, and it's one we're going to tackle this week. We're joined all this week by Randy Alcorn. I suspect most of you know his name. He is the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries, and his new book out from Multnomah is called If God Is Good. Randy, welcome to Primetime.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be with you.
That's a great title because that's really the conditional clause that often we frame this with. If God is good, then blank, blank, blank. Why the following, right?
Exactly. In fact, originally we had in the title, we had it finishing with an ellipsis, which is those three dots, and it's like, okay, if God is good, so then why? And that is the question, and it is actually the primary question that is asked by both unbelievers and believers. Sometimes believers and unbelievers ask pretty different questions about life, depending on their worldview. But here, you have the same question being asked, and there was a Barna poll where people were asked, if you had one question you could bring before God and ask him, what would it be? And that if you're all good and you're all powerful, why do you allow all of this evil and suffering?
Yeah. You know, I just in the last several days, I heard someone frame it, and this came from a person who has a son who is mentally handicapped. And this person is a believer, Christian. And they said, my thought in all of this before I came to grips with it was, God, I said, if I were you and I were all powerful as you are and all good as you are, I'd fix this. And that describes it, doesn't it? I mean, if we were God and had the power to do it, we sure would fix this evil.
Exactly. And that is the very question that a philosophy professor at the university will ask young people who have grown up in Christian homes and Christian churches, and they'll say, how many of you believe in a all good and all powerful God? And some hands will go up, maybe a little bit tentatively, because they might suspect what's coming, and he says, well, if I had all power, I would not permit all of these horrific things that happen in the world. I would not permit children to be raped. I would not permit this, that, and the other thing, Holocaust. Would you? And then no one in the class would.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're decent people. So the logic is, then if God is all good, why would he permit those? Oh, there must not be a God, or if there is, he's not all good or all powerful. But one of the things we miss in that, one of the central things we miss in that logic, is that we are reducing God to our standards to try to think in terms of, if God were like us, what would God do? Well, he's not like us, and Scripture tells us he's not like us, and the missing ingredient is he is also all-knowing and sovereign, and can accomplish eternal and invisible purposes that we have no clue about. So we lack the all wisdom part of the formula, and we're just not in a position to decide what will be eternally best the way God is.
We may get to this later in the week, Randy, but in our last minute and a half here today, let me just hit you with the free will question, because everybody wants to get to that too. What is the truth about that? I mean, because sometimes the rationale for evil can be laid at the feet of human free will. They'll say, well, God doesn't want robots, therefore he lets us do our thing, and we get into trouble.
I think there's a certain amount of legitimacy to that argument about free will. I prefer the term meaningful human choice, and I explain why that is, because as Martin Luther argued, that there are limits to free will. The will is in bondage. We are slaves to sin, we're told, and all of that. However, we can still make meaningful choices, choices that have consequences, that affect other people, that affect ourselves, and for which we are morally accountable to God. So I certainly think that's one ingredient, certainly demons, Satan, their influence in the world, but overarching is the biblical teaching of the sovereignty of God, and as Joseph said of his brothers, or to his brothers, in Genesis 50, verse 20, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. So that's kind of the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament, you know. And Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
And you mentioned a moment ago our limited vantage point as humans. It seems to me that also in that respect, what we call bad may turn out from an eternal perspective to have been good all along because it accomplished some better purpose.
That is exactly right. And we see that sometimes in our lives. For instance, I say in the book, I mention a speaker who said, write down on the top half of the page the worst things that have happened in your life, and then write down at the bottom the best things that have happened in your life. And now, after all this is done, take a look at the correlation between what's on both lists, and it's stunning for most of us. I've done this myself.
Yeah.
There is a great deal of overlap.
Hmm.
And we even see that sometimes to a degree in this life, but in the life to come, we who are in the presence of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we will see his once invisible purposes.
Yeah. This book is called If God is Good, Randy Alcorn, the author. It is published by Multnomah, and we'll give you more information at primetimeamerica.org. Stay with us all this week during this time slot on Primetime. We're going to pick up this conversation further. Randy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.